Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Bless, what's going on, man? I forgot I had to do this today.
Hey, man, I get it. It happens. I was talking to you about that a little bit earlier where I was like, last night I was going to bed and I was like, sweet, I get to do a late night in. I don't got shit I'm doing tomorrow morning. And then it hit me that I'm doing KFGD and I got confused because I did it yesterday and I wasn't supposed to be on it yesterday. And so,
yeah, that was me last night. Like, oh my gosh, I could play a lot more Hollow Knight, right? Because I really want to finish this game. I want to be one of those people that complains about asking where Silksong is. I want to be one of those people. And so I played Hollow Knight for quite a long time last night, fought two awesome bosses, and then was like, ah, man, I don't have anything until games cast tomorrow. I wake up, do a thumbnail super late, yeah, sleep in a little bit, and saw a hat because the plan was I'm only an hour into Justice League, bless. Mm-hmm. I'm only an hour in. I have three more to go. Movie. I have three more to go, bless, yeah. So I can knock out maybe hour two tonight. We'll see how this goes, and then I've games daily. But I'm happy to be here. I like doing this every other week thing. It's really neat.
Yeah, man. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I believe that's the thing that's happening today. That's why I got the green in the background.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. I saw Jack
celebrate.
Jacksepticeye tweeted out, "Good morning to everybody except people who say St. Patty's Day," and I said, "Jacksepticeye noted," because I see you and Danny O'Dwyer on the same page about this. I won't say St. Patty's Day.
Oh, is that
Day.
A thing? See, I didn't know that.
I didn't know.
You learn a new thing every day.
Yeah, it's like when people get mad. Kevin, are you one of those people that's like, don't call us San Fran. Don't say San Fran. You one of these people, Kev? They're like, say SF.
I mean, I don't know. No, I think it's fine. It's one of those things that I just don't associate with those kind of people. You know what I mean? They say San Fran. Sure, yeah. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going to go. I'll see you later.
I know not to have you in my life. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Trash people. Guys.
Very good. Very good.
Well, enough about San Fran. Let's talk about some video game news. Today's stories include a slate of PlayStation indies, EA Play coming to Game Pass on PC, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, a new episode of The Blessing Show is up, and this week, thanks to your support on Patreon, Greg Miller takes over. Go check out the latest episode to see Greg break down how to save Marvel's Avengers. It's up now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Let me tell you, looking at the views, you guys already love it. You guys are all about it. You guys apparently are fans of Marvel's Avengers, which I would never guess. But I'm very excited for the event tomorrow because I hope we get some good stuff. Because I want to get back into the game.
They've been indoctrinated by Greg, bless is what I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, Greg has a weird way of creating cults of people. Mm-hmm. I've been learning this over my year and 3 months of working here, that if Greg can get into something enough, he can get other people into it to the point where now he has a following that is all about Marvel's Avengers or Patapon or whatever the thing may be.
Whatever weird ass thing, yeah.
I kind of want to adopt that idea and make my own fucking Sonic the Hedgehog army.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Can you imagine
how obnoxious we'll be?
Oh my gosh, I feel like factions already exist out there. It's more of a thing like, would they be willing to accept a new faction? You know, would they want more troops? What sort of disagreements would you all have about the franchise?
Does the Sonic community need a leader? Right? Because I'm sure there are obviously Sonic content creators out there, and there are many voices for Sonic out there. But does the Sonic community need an additional voice to carry that Sonic flag? And that's the thing I kind of need to consider and maybe lean into. Because
are you going to carry the torch? Are you willing to put on
that ring? I might
carry
the torch. I might carry the Sonic torch. We'll see.
I saw you tweet about this the other day, where there was a hypothetical tweet, which I read wrong, by the way. And I was even more livid at you, at your words that you tweeted out. But luckily, I was wrong and I misread it. But it said, there's four characters. Which ones do you keep, eliminating the other three from video game history? And it was Sonic the Hedgehog, Link,
yep,
Mario, and
yep. Pikachu.
Pikachu. So obviously, like Pokemon in that franchise, whatever. And I read it wrong. I was thinking that you just have to eliminate one. And so I saw you say, I want to save Mario. I just don't know if I have the strength to do it. And I said, Bless, if you're going to keep around this Sonic motherfucker and get rid of Mario. Luckily, I read it wrong.
That's the thing. Like, so when I read that original tweet, I also read it wrong. And what I read it originally, and I was like, okay, I got to get rid of one of them between Sonic, Mario, Pikachu, and Link, and get rid of their history forever. And my answer was going to be, I'm just going to get rid of myself in that case. Like, I can't make that decision. I can't do that. But when it was, oh, you only got to keep one of them, still a very difficult decision for me. And honestly, like, it's not just Sonic that makes it difficult. I love all those franchises. I love Zelda, Pokemon, all, like, everything across the board. But I think in reality, I might have to keep Mario just for how good Mario is. Like, Mario just has too much.
I kind of agree, right? I think of what appeals to me as an adult. If you were to have asked 12-year-old Andy, I would have said, you have to keep Sonic, because I was drawing original characters. I was making my own characters in the universe. I was, like, it was, I never really even gave a shit about the games. It was just more of, I love this sort of world. And then I went through puberty, Bless, and then kind of realized, you know what?
And you played Mario World.
I have heightened senses now, right? And so I think I would have to keep Mario out of all of them. Mario or fuck, that's so tough. That's so tough.
It's difficult because, like, my Breath of the Wild is probably the single game that I love the most out of the four, right? Like, out of all their franchises, Breath of the Wild is number one for me. But Mario probably has a higher amount of games that I hold in my top 10, top 20. Right, like, I can point to Super Mario 64, I can point to Super Mario 3, I can point to Super Mario World and be like, okay, yeah, these are all games that I hold up there, versus for Zelda, it is Breath of the Wild, and then down the line, it gets to Twilight Princess and Ocarina and all that stuff, but it's balances, you know, what does it balance out for you?
Checks and balances, Bless, you know.
Checks and balances. Exactly. Speaking of checks and balances, some of you did a good job of keeping up with your checks and balances, and you became Patreon producers. So thank you to Mick at the Nanobiologist, Abrahamson, Blackjack, and Trent Berry. Today we're brought to you by Purple, Brooklinen, and Burrow, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
Baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. This one is actually kind of seven stories within one story. PlayStation is doing their indie spotlight today. They started this morning. I'm going to pull firstly from an article on PlayStation blog that's titled Indies Take the Spotlight with a Day of New Reveals and Updates. This is written by Shuhei Yoshida, head of PlayStation Indies, in front of the show.
Wow.
Hi, everyone. One of the best parts of working with the indie game developer community is learning what goes into the experiences they are creating. Today, we're excited to have some of them share their stories with reveals and updates on seven indie games coming to PlayStation. So this has been going on since I want to say around 7 a.m. And so
what is it about the days that I'm on where 2 weeks ago we are releasing seven new PSVR games, and we're releasing them at every hour of the day. What's going on?
So yeah, they're doing the exact same thing this week. They're doing another indie spotlight, and as of the time of starting this episode, we have six out of seven. And so, Kevin, I'm gonna need your help when we get to the seventh one to be on the lookout to see if it actually came out. But I want to go through them really, really quickly and shout out each of these announcements. I'm gonna also pull from Jill Screbbles at IGN, who has a really good write up detailing the announcements we've gotten so far. I'm going to start off with Operation Tango, which came first. An asymmetric co-op puzzle game, Operation Tango, is launching this spring. And also, Kevin, I have a trailer if you want to bring it up for the people. The spy adventure sees an agent player infiltrating locations while a hacker player helps them to do so. The game will also launch on PS5, as well as its previously announced PS4, Xbox One, and Steam versions. Andy, we're about to look at a trailer here for Operation Tango. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have it up on my end. Also, I didn't know Kim was going to bring it up.
I mean, so far, as you're looking at it, do you have any takes, any opinions on it? Do you like it?
There's one thing that I do like noticing about these newer indie games is that no matter how simple and basic they look, as long as your game is at a very, very high frame rate and a very, very high resolution, it can have the lowest textures possible, and it's going to look really still good and stylish. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But again, when they say asymmetric co-op, what the hell? Like, is one person hacking? What's going on?
I mean, I assume you're doing different shit at the same time, right? It sounds like one person is gonna be hacking, one person is gonna be actually in there doing the thing. But you mentioned the frame rate thing, right? I was playing Dishonored Definitive Edition yesterday on Xbox because they added the FPS boost, which raises the FPS up to like 60 FPS, maybe beyond. And dude, for a game that has such a distinct art style, the way that FPS just makes that game look so much smoother and so much better, it's incredible. It's incredible what FPS alone does to that.
I was just talking to Tim about this because he did the same thing where he installed Dishonored thanks to Xbox Game Pass PC. And I mentioned to him that on a whim, I bought the BioShock Collection on PC. And playing BioShock 1, the intro sort of area, and it's remastered, right? So it has been updated a little bit for the previous gen, not the 360 era, but, you know, Xbox One or whatever. And good Lord, that game at a high resolution, playing at 1440p at an unlocked frame rate,
yeah,
with some of the updates to lighting, it just looks like a new game. So I love this trend that people are recognizing and realizing we don't have to be extremely photoreal to look good. We can be a 60 FPS and up game running at a very, very high resolution, you know, 4K or 1440p, and this shit's gonna look dope, and this looks awesome.
Yeah, I had the exact same feeling when I was playing Dishonored yesterday. I was like, this feels like it's a new game. Like, this feels like it's a modern game, which is a crazy thing to think about. Next up, we got Chicory, A Colorful Tale. This adventure game is about a dog using a magical paintbrush to explore and solve puzzles. Was funded on Kickstarter earlier this year. It's now been announced for PS5 and PS4 release this spring. The game sees a world stripped of color, with the player asked to manually paint it back to life, offering personalization as well as puzzling. On PS5, the game will use the DualSense touchpad to control the brush with a left-handed option, and the developer has added lots of soft texture rumbles, which makes the whole thing feel warm and cozy, like petting a cat. We're looking at it right now. It has a really cool paintbrush art style. This is a game that was announced before, but yeah, finally we're getting confirmation that it's coming to consoles with the release year. Andy, does this one do anything for you?
It's really cute looking. I'm not sure. Oh, it looks like it. So the painting also changes a lot of the platforming, which seems pretty neat. Now, the idea that the rumbling will feel kind of textured depending on where you're brushing, I think, is really, really awesome. And stuff that we hope to see more evolutions like that from the DualSense and that the HD rumbling that they have. I had to pull it up on separately because I just wanted to see it in its full res, because I know in Discord we're kind of looking at a bit of a fuzzier version. This looks cute as hell. It seems very puzzle-like, and I think it's definitely a game for Kevin. This looks like a Kevin-ass game.
Yeah, honestly, there are a lot of announcements here that seem like Kevin-ass games. There's a lot of puzzle games. Puzzle games like our third announcement, Play With Your Food. Now Our Play With Your Food looks like a heck of a trip in the tastiest way. Published by the same company as Entitled Goose Game and coming to PS5 this summer, Now Our is a game where you play with your food and the game's music and sound will react accordingly. Using adaptive background music, Now Our's tunes and sound effects will shift depending on what you do to the extremely nice-looking food in front of you. And then I'm going to pull a quote straight from the PlayStation blog that was written by the dev. Quote, perhaps the best example of physical instrumentation in Nahr is the noodle harp. Make some noodles, arrange them to form an elegant slope or monster using the magnet, and freeze them. While there are many ways you could choose to play the harp, one of my favorites is simply letting a gyoza tumble down the sculpture to create a descending melody. This is another game that was announced before, but now we're getting a few more updates on it. And again, this game continues to look beautiful. This game continues to look hot. I'm all about it. I love the simple idea of if it's you playing with your food, having a good time. I can't wait for this one.
This feels like such the weird era PlayStation. This feels like it would have been a demo that you'd see at Best Buy when they're showing off the PS2 along with Tekken and what was that one? What was that fireworks game? Do you remember this fireworks game on PS2? Yes. It was a launch title. Fuck. I have to Google it.
Was it like Connecticut? No, it wasn't Connecticut. That was a racing game, I think. I know exactly.
Fantavision.
Fantavision. Yes.
Yeah. This seems like weird era PlayStation, and I'm totally into it. It's very bizarre. Yeah.
Next up, we got Where the Heart Leads. Where the Heart Leads is a narrative game focused on decision-making throughout the life of one man. Developer Todd Keller from Armature Studios says the game is inspired by titles like Heavy Rain, Oxenfree, Xenogears, and Vagrant Story, and includes the influences of David Lynch, Wes Anderson, and Nicholas Winding Refn. It's out on PS4 and PS5 on July 13th. We're about to take a look at it here. Kevin's bringing it up.
A surreal narrative adventure. Huh. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it takes place in a 3D world, but they still have the dialogue boxes come up.
Audio listeners are going to think I'm manifesting this thing where we just end up watching videos, because I remember the last one. This is not a good audio episode, everybody. It's like, well, we're looking at new games and we have to kind of explain them, so it's difficult. But yeah, this looks very painterly, has a really neat style. And I don't fully understand what the hell is happening in it, Bless.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like one of those types of games, right? Like, it's very much a narrative, weird, surreal story. And so I'm sure you're going to get more as you go through the game.
I'm getting Oxenfree vibes. I'm also getting Kentucky Route Zero vibes with the way the dialogue is working, with the way the 3D is sort of presented. And you could tell it's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of them thinkers, Bless, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss a key part of dialogue that's going to lead to some big story moments. Yeah.
Yeah. The fifth announcement we got is a game called Puzzling Places. Dive into the meditative flow of virtual reality puzzling. With Puzzling Places, you can put together 3D jigsaws of beautiful places from around the globe, all without cluttering your kitchen table.
Oh, shit. This looks cool.
Now, this game looks like a Kevin-ass game. I want to know what Kevin's thoughts on it are when he's able to bring it up and actually look at it. Because you're basically in VR.
This is Google Earth.
Yeah, and you're putting together puzzle pieces of buildings and structures and houses. You're basically putting together 3D puzzles, like in a 3D space. Yeah, again, you're right really that this is going to be a weird audio episode because it's hard to describe exactly like what the fuck we're looking at.
Hey,
but
man,
Kevin,
like,
does this one appeal to you?
You know what I mean?
Head over to youtube.com, just kind of funny games. Give us the click. Don't be shy.
This looks weird. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Yes. Like, all of these games, like, feel like they're, you know, still in development. Like, where this one, like, this hardly looks like a game. But also, that rock shit right now that's happening, that looks entertaining. I could see spending several hours doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that this looks like a really cool concept. I don't know if I would play this game yet. Maybe like somewhere down the line where we get the launch trailer and you kind of get to understand exactly how the mechanics work and how it's going to translate. I think that might be the actual seller. But at the very least, looking at this, looking at what's going on stream and how nerdy this looks really cool. I'm down with the idea.
I just, you know, I'm not seeing a dash or a parry mechanic, Bless. So I'm unfortunately out.
Our number six game is a game called Heavenly Bodies. Heavenly Bodies is a challenging physics-based spatial puzzler coming to PS5 and PS4. Wrangle the hands and arms of a weightless cosmonaut and chamber your way through a collection of precarious stellar scenarios where, without gravity, nothing is still, nothing is secure, and nothing is ever simple.
Oh, wow. That dramatic pause.
Yeah. You like that?
The movement. This is another game that looks cool. Ah, interesting. So this, the movement reminds me a lot of Mount Your Friends.
Yeah.
Or a game like Quap or something like that, where the physics are very odd and are probably going to be very frustrating. But you are essentially looking at an astronaut. You're not really in a 3D space. It's like basically 2.5D. And you are just controlling the astronaut's hands to kind of maneuver around a space station as your body's sort of floating. But it looks like it can be one of those fun and frustrating games to play with friends where you are just like, why can't I grab this stupid cord, you know?
Yeah.
Seems really interesting.
So right now I'm on the PlayStation YouTube channel trying to figure out what this last game announcement is, because they promised 7 and that was 6. And we got a new trailer for Disco Elysium, The Final Cut. And I might just assume that is supposed to be the 7th announcement.
That's so funny because, Bless, this happened last time too. Oh my God, this happened 2 weeks ago. Where we thought there was one more thing, and then Mick, a nanobiologist, was like, no, that's actually it. They announced them all.
Oh, people are saying that it's in 9 minutes.
Okay, 9 minutes.
Chat, keep updating, because I'm trying to figure out if this Disco Elysium thing is the last thing or something else. Because Disco Elysium, we already had the date, and so that's not really new. new info.
And we obviously know what that looks like. It's a game of the year. It's a game of the year type game.
Anyway,
Andy's,
we'll keep our...
Andy's caught in a time loop. Yeah, for real, chat, for real.
We'll keep our eyes on that one. But for now, let's move on to story number two. EA Play is coming to PC Game Pass. I'm pulling directly from news.xbox.com, where they write, "We're excited to share with you that starting tomorrow, March 18th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, Xbox Game Pass PC and Ultimate members will be able to enjoy all the benefits of EA Play on Windows 10, including more than 60 of EA's biggest and best PC games like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, FIFA 20, Titanfall 2, and Need for Speed Heat, as well as titles from some of EA's most popular franchises like Battlefield, Madden NFL, Command & Conquer, and The Sims. You'll get rewards each month from your favorite EA games. March rewards include Gold Team Fantasy MUT packs and an EA Play Celebration pack for Madden 21, an N7 weapon charm for Apex Legends, and more. And starting on day one of EA Play on PC with Xbox Game Pass, members can play the new-to-playlist title Star Wars Squadrons on PC and console. Master the art of starfighter combat in the authentic piloting experience. Feel the adrenaline of first-person multiplayer space dogfights alongside your squadron, and buckle up in a thrilling Star Wars story." It's finally happened, Andy. We did it. We're here. This is actually a funny one because I want to say it was like literally 2 days ago where Roger Bricorni was tweeting about how the PC Game Pass comparatively just was not standing up to Xbox Game Pass. And I remember seeing that, looking, and I was like, oh yeah, he has a point. Like, PC Game Pass needs some work. And this feels like a really big step into actually putting in work into making PC Game Pass feel a little bit more substantial.
It's a huge step forward, absolutely. And what's really funny about it is there are still other Xbox games titles that are not popping up on PC. And the ultimate wish, I think, and I hope we get it within the next year or so, is sort of cross save, cross play wherever you want, because I still want the future of, I want to be able to play games on my TV, on my Series X, and then have that save pop up on my PC. And not all games do that yet, unfortunately, which is kind of a bummer. But funny, missing from this article, we don't see any message of Mass Effect except for the Apex charm, which I'm wondering if they are even going to release it on PC.
Which one?
If the old, no, if the just the old school 1-3 original PC versions are going to release on EA PC Game Pass, I obviously didn't read the article, maybe they mentioned it, but it is kind of telling that they didn't put it on there, assuming because, hey, we want you to play Legendary Edition when that shit comes out, so don't get too excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say Mass Effect is on EA Play on console. I'm like, yeah, 70% sure. Is it?
Okay.
I would hope that it's included in that. But yeah, you're right. It's not a given, and they don't mention it when they're talking about the franchises. But yeah, I would hope so. You know, I could see it. But yeah,
this is a perfect time to replay Titanfall 2 on PC. I mean, this is a perfect time, because, again, re-experiencing these games at higher refresh rates with higher resolutions is like playing the game again. And I'm excited to jump into Jedi Fallen Order again. I want to see what that game looks and performs like, because I haven't played it. I know they put out that next-gen patch. I haven't played it on that version yet, and I'm really excited to see how it looks like on a beefier machine, because at launch was the last time I played it. It was, you know, kind of rough around the edges with frame rate and stability, so... this is exciting. This rules. This absolutely rules.
This is fantastic. And it feels like every other day now, we are getting news about the moves that they're making with Xbox Game Pass. And it becomes more and more of a force, I feel like, with each passing week. And yeah, this is just another added factor to the power and the promise of Xbox Game Pass. And so I hope they continue to develop it. I hope we continue to see them grow PC. You know, playing New Vegas right now on Xbox Series X has been such a great experience for the most part, but it would be nice to be able to have that on PC Game Pass. And it's not there. And it very much speaks to like it's difficult to try and have things equal across the board when there are deals in place, and we got to make sure that we're able to do each and every one of these things with quality.
Wait, but it's really not on PC Game Pass? That's so
lame. No, it's not. It's just
I didn't realize. Why is everything else there? I didn't even realize that. I just assume that's so weird. I assumed it just would have been there.
It's a weird one, and I would have preferred to play it on PC Game Pass, but I think it'll probably end up there eventually, and then two, I think we'll probably see Xbox work toward making the two parity with each other. You know, being Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass, because for what Xbox's strategy is, Microsoft's strategy is with Game Pass, you know, we talk about it all the time, but they view it as an ecosystem, right? They view it as a they view the ecosystem of Game Pass and Xbox as a thing that works together. And so whether you're playing on PC or on console, it is a win to them. And for that to truly shine through, I think you need to get people in on the PC side. And by doing that, in order to do that, you have to have PC stand alongside a console as something that is worthy to get into.
God, I really need to fire up Wolfenstein again on PC. But I tried it, and it is locked to 60 frames. And I know that there are special ways to get around that. And I just need to put on the hacking glasses. I don't have them right now in front of me. Mm-hmm. But when I find the hacking glasses, I will try to figure out. Oh, here they are. I will try to figure out point can I unlock the frame rate here? Because I need this shit at the highest frame rate possible. Okay, I can't see anything. I can't even see my screen right now.
Dude, glasses video watchers are getting a treat today. Let me tell you, I didn't even realize you had these glasses. These are fucking sick.
Yeah, bless. I can see the future. I can see the future. What?
Can you tell me when Wolfenstein 3 comes out?
Wolfenstein 3. Not coming up, bless. Not coming up.
Damn it.
They're working on Indiana Jones.
Never? God damn. Damn.
Exclusive.
Let's talk about story number 3. Let me check one more time on the PlayStation blog to see if there are any updates. Chat, have you been on the lookout? Do we have anything yet?
Nanobiologist did mention in chat that it looks like it is the Disco Elysium announcement that is the final one.
Okay, cool. Then we don't have to watch a trailer for Disco Elysium because everybody knows what that is. But to pull from the PlayStation blog real quick. Oh, wait, hold on. Before I do that, we got a guest up in the building. Imran Khan, a fan bite. How's it going?
Imran! It's going well. Hi, Andy. Hi, Bless. I have a small correction for Andy's future glasses. Pete Hines confirmed Wolfenstein 3 is actually in development a couple months ago, maybe a year ago.
Oh.
I'm looking into the past. Andy was wrong on that one.
Okay. So just to be clear, Wolfenstein 3 probably still existing. Don't know if it's going to come from Machine Games necessarily, but does exist.
Oh, so are we getting into Naughty Dog territory with Uncharted franchise? Are we kind of approaching that fork in the road where they say, you know what, you all work on Indiana Jones, and the rest of y'all, maybe you all go back on.
Yeah, it's like Crystal Dynamics with Tomb Raider, where they gave it to Eidos Montreal for the
thing
one,
is,
which
I
didn't
don't
work out as well as I don't think as
that
they,
was also
I,
just
they
also
wanted.
That was, to my credit, Imran, just a pure guess. guess.
Honestly, you could still be right. Maybe they did go like, oh, let's screw this Wolfenstein stuff.
They better not, dude.
After Youngblood, I don't know if you finished Youngblood. I'm not going to ruin the ending for anybody here, but that game's ending sets up a Wolfenstein 3 that sounds so cool that I can't wait for them to do that.
That was better than
so would you say it's worth playing through Youngblood to just get that ending?
No, watch it on YouTube.
No, unfortunately.
Youngblood, I
on Game Pass, so
Youngblood.
Like whatever. Like at this point, you know, you can play it for free. Who cares? But probably have more stuff to do with your time than.
Oh yeah,
Youngblood.
I gotta every play. Time I think about I gotta play Loop get, Hero, Imran. I gotta play every, Loop Hero.
Every time I think about Youngblood, I get more and more angry at that game. I did not enjoy my time with Youngblood at all because it felt like they were just. It felt like they just didn't know. They were like, fuck it, we're going to make a co-op game, we're going to make it like Borderlands and maybe like a fucking looter shooter, but just not have any of the promise or any of the commitment to those mechanics. It was weird. It was
weird.
And
it
also my
like
fucking
game...
shit fell through the world multiple times for me and ruined my progress in that game. God damn.
If I had a nickel.
That game fucking bummed me out because I love Wolfenstein.
It feels like a game that was designed just for that, like, ending tease bait. And it's, keep in mind, extremely cool ending tease bait. But, like, you didn't need to make an entire game for that. You could have just dropped a video or something. It's fine.
Jeff Grubb is in chat yelling, play Loop Hero. Play Loop Hero, everyone.
Okay.
I can't wait to talk about it on Gamescast today.
New Jeff Grubb leak just dropped. Play Loop Hero.
Summer Games Mess right there.
Imran,
right.
I'm going
to get back
update.
To work.
All bye, right. Imran. Love you.
Bye.
Looking through this PlayStation blog for the Disco Elysium stuff, it doesn't seem like there's anything worthwhile to actually read out here. And so if you're interested in more Loop Hero details, check it out on the PlayStation blog, but I'm not going to bring it up here.
He never says I love you back, Imran.
Wait, did he say he loved us?
He never said, no, I said I love him, but he never
says. Oh, you
says,
said you loved
him.
I do that to Kevin all the time. Kevin never responds.
Yeah, that's because I don't love you.
Damn. So the truth comes out. Let's talk about story number 3. Activision fires dozens amid shift away from live events. This is from Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. Activision Blizzard Inc. fired dozens of people on Tuesday across various departments, including 50 employees who handle esports programming and other live events. The dismissals affect less than 2% of the total workforce, or fewer than 190 employees, said a person with knowledge of the matter, who asked not to be identified because the number isn't public. Also, among the cuts were employees at King.com, the makers of Candy Crush. The cuts signal that Activision plans a broader shift away from in-person events after a year of coronavirus lockdowns. Quote, players are increasingly choosing to connect with our games digitally, and the esports team, much like traditional sports, entertainment, and broadcasting industries, has had to adapt its business due to the impact of the pandemic, has had on live events, a company spokesperson said. U.S. workers will receive a minimum of 90 days severance and health benefits for a year, as well as, quote, job transition support, end quote, the spokesperson said. They were also given $200 gift cards to Battle.net, the Blizzard online game service. Last month, Blizzard held a virtual version of its annual BlizzCon convention that was more diminished than previous shows. Even as it reduces staffing in some divisions, Activision Blizzard, known for franchises including Call of Duty and World of Warcraft, gave an optimistic outlook for this year and next and said it expects to hire 3,000 people in 2021. Following that, Jason Schreier had a couple of tweets to add in a few updates regarding the story. Jason Schreier tweeted this, quote, more on today's Activision Blizzard layoffs. Dozens of people at the company were affected, not just in live events. In addition to 90-day severance and a year of health benefits, laid-off staff received $200 Battle.net gift cards, which was in the updated story. Activision Blizzard has originally announced that the layoffs were 50 people in the esports / live events departments, but the real number appears to be much higher. Person familiar says it was less than 2% of total staff. 2% would be around 190 people. Andy, you keep up with Overwatch League. You keep up with BlizzCon, as I understand it, right?
You have a
general familiarity with the live event stuff over at Activision Blizzard. Given the pandemic, given what we've had over the last year, does it seem like it makes sense that they're leaning off of live events? Does this seem like a shift that makes sense for Activision for you?
I'm really confused about this because earlier this morning there was a story that popped up that I saw Golden Boy Alex Mendez, who has done casting and desk analysis for multiple Overwatch League events. He retweeted an article from InVen Global, and InVen Global, the title says Overwatch League to place less emphasis on live events in 2021. So I thought immediately that's exactly what this. So I pull up that article while you're reading the rest of it, and apparently there was an update from Blizzard, and they sent the following statement to InVen Global saying, live events are still very much a part of both the Overwatch League and Call of Duty League strategies. We plan to get back to them as soon as it's safe to do and logically feasible. But with all these layoffs, I'm very confused by all of this. I don't know if this means maybe they are going to lean on sort of outsourcing this work because, you know, events companies do exist, Blessing. It's possible for Blizzard to say, you know what? Maybe this cost doesn't make sense to us to do in-house and staff these people full-time. Possibly we look to other companies to maybe just run that live event and run this live event and run this Overwatch League match and run that Call of Duty League game or whatever. I am pretty confused by this because it seemed like it was fairly done, which really bummed me out because I've been to several Overwatch League events and I love being a part of that esports world, but I'm kind of confused by all these mixing and mashing of words right now.
I mean I think you're onto something as far as there's probably some shifting going around in terms of how they're going to go about live events. Like I could see them leaning off of doing it in-house and going to an organization that specializes in actually throwing live events, you know, and relying on them, because I assume there's a case of the last year of pandemic and work from home and not being able to do in-person live events maybe has taught them some things about the process that they're able to identify and look at and go, okay, we don't need to do things this way. We can actually do things this way because it turns out we save a lot of money by not having to do this by ourselves. I think some of that could maybe be the case, but I think there is, to your confusion, right? I think there is a little bit of, hey, there's more behind the scenes going on that they're not talking about or that we don't know. Jason Schreier mentions in this that dozens of people at the company were impacted, not just in live events.
Yeah, not just live events, yeah.
Yeah, which I think could point to, hey, you know, we could use live events as the scapegoat for this thing, but really we're downsizing in general, you know, for
restructuring yet again. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I expect that to be the case.
Let's lay off a bunch of people and then, you know, blame it on other things. But yeah, this is absolutely a bummer because somebody just mentioned in chat how Philadelphia was in the middle of building out their esports arena that they announced for Overwatch League for the Philadelphia Fusion, and then pandemic hit. And the same with, I was in Dallas for an Overwatch League event about a year ago now, around February, and they had just sort of started this esports arena, which is, you know, about the size of a concert hall. Like, it's a fairly big place, but it's definitely not, you're not going to go watch an NBA game there. It's definitely not that big. And I just cannot imagine what going through all that has been, where so much plan and prep goes into building an esports arena that isn't necessarily a guarantee, you know, because I went to a couple of the Overwatch League events when they weren't in these big homestands, right? Overwatch League has these things called homestands where it's a big blowout event where they say, hey, for this weekend, Dallas Fuel, Overwatch League puts all the focus on Dallas Fuel. And they say, hey, a bunch of teams are going to Dallas. We're going to pack this arena for this weekend, right? And it is very, very packed. But but when there's not these homestand events, they would play in the Burbank studio, which I believe either Jimmy Fallon or one of these Tonight hosts would be at. Mm-hmm. And it's a small little dinky stage, and it looks awesome presentation-wise, but you'd struggle to get more than 40 people inside the stands. And so I feel like a lot of this stuff could be a blessing in disguise to say, maybe we don't necessarily need to put this big of a focus on live esports events when, or especially for things like Overwatch, when we can't get people regularly to be there week mm-hmm. after week. I don't know, man. This is all, it's all such a sad thing because I love these esports events, and I hope we get to see them back in some sort of serious way, not just online anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you, right? Like, being able to attend that stuff in person, I'm sure, is a different type of energy. And I'm somebody who so badly wanted to go to Evo last year. Like, I planned to hit up Evo, but then obviously pandemic happened, and so that wasn't going to be the case. And also it got canceled for other reasons. But yeah, like, this is a live events are a thing that are exciting in general. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of live events come back as the years go on, right? And things start to get better. But we are also going to see things get sacrificed and companies realize that, hey, maybe everything doesn't need to be a live event. And yeah, again, like, this is a bummer, right? For the reasons you mentioned, but then also for the fact that a lot of people are seeming to have lost their jobs, and it sucks. Laying people off during a pandemic is always something that is always a thing that never sits well with me. You know, I understand that business is business. I understand that, you know, we've been in a pandemic for over a year now, but even still, like, it doesn't stay well with me. I'm not a fan of it at all. Glad they're getting their severance packages, and the $200 BattleNet thing is whatever. But
it's definitely kicking you while you're down. Yeah, there's
got
to
be. It is like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? But what it's nice that they're getting their severance packages it, as well.
There's
as well.
Definitely a way that we can reallocate funds somehow. You know, but that's also me, the idealist wanting just, you know, free healthcare.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And so, you know, our hearts go out to people who are struggling with this, you know, who are being laid off and are looking for jobs right now. Our hearts go with you. Hope you're able to recover well. Before we get into story number four, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Purple. As the world becomes increasingly uncomfortable, we're all looking for as much comfort as we can get. The one thing you can always count on is how comfortable your Purple mattress is. That's because Purple is comfort reinvented. Only Purple has the Grid, a stretchy gel material that's amazingly supportive for your back and legs while cushioning your shoulders, necks, and hips. I don't know how it does it. It's just fantastic. Because of how it's designed, the Grid doesn't trap air. Air actually circulates and flows through it, so you'll never overheat. The Grid bounces back as you move and shift, unlike memory foam, which remembers everything. That's why memory foam has craters and divots. Kind of Funny loves Purple Mattress. Joey Noelle sleeps like a baby on the one she has. She says it's nice and soft, and when she sleeps, she be saying the words "goo goo gaga" just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Noelle, we know you be seeing it, saying it when you be sleeping on them purple mm-hmm. mattresses. Right now, you can try your Purple Mattress risk-free with free shipping and returns. Financing is available too. Purple really is comfort for an uncomfortable world. Right now, you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. Go to purple.com/games10 and use promo code GAMES10. That's purple.com/games10, promo code GAMES10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/games10.
I bought those pillows with purple.com/games10, bless.
Oh.
Yeah, I love
them. You got them yet?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I've had them for a couple of weeks now. I absolutely adore them. And they are very, very cool. It is definitely the every side that you're not, like, you feel the air flowing through it. You feel like it's always a cool surface, which I love.
That's awesome. We're also brought to you by Brooke Linen. Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheets, but maybe you looked at some retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd pay on just one setup and gave up. Trust me, go check out Brooke Linen. Brooke Linen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooke Linen as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooke Linen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooke Linen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. They're so confident you will love their products, they even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. And Brooke Linen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. Kind of Funny loves Brooke Linen. Tim loves the sheets and Greg loves the towels. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code KFGD to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code KFGD to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. Brooklinen.com and use promo code KFGD at checkout.
I got them sheets too, Jesus. What's going on?
Dude, I mean, honestly, this week of Kind of Funny ads for KFGD are very much like the home essentials. You'll go to sleep like a baby pack, and I love it.
I love the sheets, absolutely.
Lastly, we're brought to you by Burrow. Finding new furniture is always a hassle, whether it's finding what's right, getting it delivered, or the setup itself. That's why I'm excited to tell you that the show is supported by Burrow, the furniture company that's designing smarter, simpler things for modern life at home. They built the company from the ground up to fix all the ways shopping for furniture is frustrating. Every decision they make, from the first sketch of a new couch to the fast, free delivery promise, is made with your experience in mind. Easy online shopping, no more visits to far-flung warehouse stores, no high-pressure salespeople, plus Burrow's world-class support team is available for you whenever you need. Furniture designed for the way you live, the credenzas are actually tall enough to fit next-gen consoles standing vertically. The award-winning Nomad sofa has a built-in USB charger. There's simple assembly. Burrow customers literally write reviews applauding the instructions for being so easy to follow. Modular designs means they're easy to set up, but also easy to take with you to your next home. Fast, free shipping on every order saves you an average of $100 on large items like a couch. Right now, you can get $75 off your first order at burrow.com/games. That's Burrow, burrow.com/games for $75 off your first purchase. burrow.com/games.
Kevin, can you put us all in stereo, please? I really want to realize this future one day.
No, dude, like, we've talked about it before, and it just doesn't work.
It's super easy, Kevin. You can just pan it over, pan over.
No, I know, but, like, we've done that. We did that for KF Podcast. And remember, it freaked
people loved
out.
It. Oh, many people crying, loved it.
Like, I freaked out about that. I was
people loved it.
Blessing wrote in, like, I don't know if I like this stereo.
Kind of Funny, you're wrong.
You can't be doing stereo this way. It's taking it too far. Story number four, let's pivot to a fun one. Rockstar has paid a modder $10,000 for fixing GTA load times. This comes from Cass Marshall at Polygon. Today's GTA Online update is short, sweet, and contains a thank you to a player named Tost. Rockstar is also awarding Tost with... Tost, 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 Tost. tossed with $10,000. The reason for this reward, after logging in to try the newest heist, Tost became so frustrated by the low times that he proceeded to hunt down a solution to one of the game's most enduring problems. This fix may look small, but it is a huge improvement to the GTA Online experience. The loading times for Los Santos were infamously long. When you're primed and ready to crime, sitting and watching the load screen for 6 full minutes really takes the wind out of your sails. Tost update proved to cut load times by 70% on his test rig, and he released his findings to the public. Rockstar confirmed the fix was legitimate to PC Gamer and further stated, quote, "After a thorough investigation, we can confirm that player Tost did in fact reveal an aspect of the game code related to load times for the PC version of GTA Online that could be improved," end quote. A cool one. That's awesome that Tost was able to fix the load times in GTA, and Rockstar this whole time hasn't been able to do it.
That's got to feel bad if you're a Rockstar engineer who's just kind of, who may have been aware of the issue, maybe not. And then it really just reminds me, it really just reminds me of working in retail, and when you'd get undermined by somebody and you'd be like, ah, dang, all right, I guess this dude's just going to kind of do this thing for me or whatever. It really reminds me of a situation like that. I mean, shout out to Rockstar for at least acknowledging it and implementing it. And I think paying the dude $10K is awesome. Get him a little job. You guys are, you know, making $1 billion a day, right? You know, just give him a job. Find him somewhere. Put him on GTA 6. Also, make GTA 6.
Also, announce GTA 6 because I need it. Online load times, honestly, have been a big hindrance for me every time I've gone back to GTA Online in the recent years. Because people know me. People know that I've loved GTA Online. GTA Online is a game that I spent hundreds of hours in. And in recent years, I've kind of gotten tired of it. Load times being a huge reason. Load times and matchmaking both being a huge reason. It is a plague on that game. And as we've gotten further in the PS4, and now that we're in the PS5 generation, right? Like, I have such a lower tolerance when it comes to that type of shit. And so, for the times I've tried getting back into GTA Online, load times have been the thing where I'm like, I can't do this, man. It takes forever just to set up a match. It takes forever just to match with a friend. It takes forever just to figure out how to get this lobby thing to work. And so shout out to Tost for doing God's work. I hope they implement this on console too, because console load times also aren't the best at all in GTA Online. And I hope GTA Online 2 and GTA 6 get announced soon, because I want it.
I'll never forget doing a lot of GTA for party mode and... Mm-hmm. Not having the most experience with GTA Online. Like, granted, I played a lot of GTA Online when it launched in 2013, 2014 or whatever. And when we would do GTA for party mode, I never knew, is this the game or is it just broken? Like, we don't know right now. We've been loading into this match, into this race forever, into this little deathmatch thing we're trying to do. And yeah, I hope they find an implementation for that or some sort of fix for consoles, because It's pretty bad, and I'm glad that bad. I mean, 70% down is massive.
Yeah, that's huge. And I remember having a conversation. I want to say it was last year, and I think it was with Tim and folks on the Gamescast, and we're talking about the future of GTA and will we see GTA Online 2, or will the current GTA Online just continue to live forever? And I'm very much of the mind of, I think we are 1,000% going to see a GTA Online 2, because I think you just got to rework it from the ground up to get things working to a decent standard, because there are so many things that are just fundamentally broken in terms of getting into events, getting into the missions and the shit that you want to get into, and setting all that stuff up. There's just so much stuff that I think is wrong on a fundamental level that it has to be easier to just start from the bottom. And
kind of reminds me of Nintendo just rebuilding their whole networking, you know, rebuilding their whole philosophy and tech for playing online games, which is what's necessary. And I definitely hope Rockstar does that too, because you can't keep building on top of unstable ground, you know.
Story number 5, Stadia is losing one of its few exclusives, Super Bomberman R Online. This is from Matt Wales at Eurogamer. Super Bomberman R Online, a 64-player battle royale spin on the classic series, will soon be waving goodbye to Stadia exclusivity and launching on PC and consoles as a free-to-play game. Super Bomberman R Online is, as its name somewhat implies, a pared-back version of Konami's 2017 effort, Super Bomberman R. This updated version, which initially launched as a timed Stadia exclusive last August, jettisons the original story campaign and various multiplayer bits in favor of a single, online-only, 64-player battle mode, imaginatively titled Battle 64. So go get them. If you're a Super Bomberman R fan and you wanted to get into online, now's your chance. When I say now, I mean later this spring, I guess, is there a chance to get into Super
Good for them. Get in front of more eyes, man. Get in front of more eyes. Please, God. Go make
and then
your
we
money.
We have breaking news that Greg is literally adding to the doc as I speak right now. We have a story number 6. Play at Home 2021 has an update. And you know what? As Greg is adding this, I'm just going to open up the PlayStation blog because they might have a write-up that I can pull.
He's also typing at the bottom live in action right now. It says teamwork, baby. Well, I'm surprised he didn't say teamwork, Playboy. He says teamwork, baby, and then put a little Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
He's still typing, Greg. This is the blog. No need for the blog. He's saying this is the blog. Bless. He's letting you know
this is
the blog. Yeah.
At this point,
don't
why not?
Go
he just copied and pasted it.
Don't go to the blog.
Craig, I'm already on the blog.
Why didn't he just come in? Also, what is he trying to hide? I think go to
Andy,
the blog for sure.
Andy rules. Nick drools.
He's typing right now. Greg is typing
he's
a lot.
Furiously
of things,
typing. Yeah.
And I'm starting to not like him. I'm going directly from the PlayStation blog. I'm on blog.playstation.com.
Oh, man, he's
going
to be so mad.
This is a blog written by Jim Ryan, the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. He writes here, hi again. Last month, we revealed our new Play at Home program for 2021, which aims to provide the PlayStation community with free games and entertainment offers to make the next few months a little more fun. The program kicked off earlier this month with access to a free digital copy of the 2016 hit Ratchet & Clank for PS4, and you can still claim a free digital copy of the game through March 31st, 2021 at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
I should play that, huh?
Oh, yeah. Dude, have you not played Ratchet & Clank?
I haven't played it, no.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude, definitely play Ratchet & Clank 2016.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about the next Play at Home content drop, which hits March 25th. This time, our focus is a selection of free games from some of our top independent partners and the previously announced extended trial offer for Funimation or Wakanim in the countries where they are available. Starting March 25th, PlayStation and some of our favorite indie partners are collaborating to provide more free games to explore while you're staying safe at home. The games go like this. We're going to get Abzu, Enter the Gungeon, Res Infinite, holy Ooh. Shit, Subnautica, The Witness, Astrobot Rescue Mission, Moss, Thumper, Paper Beast, and then, yeah, you're going to get Funimation and Wakanim. That's huge. That is an awesome selection of games, especially if you have PSVR. That is fucking amazing for PSVR between Astrobot, Moss, Thumper, Paper Beast. That's really cool.
Very badass. But Subnautica is so scary. Oh, my God, bless. Don't play Subnautica. I mean, it's good.
I'm not.
Oh my gosh, is it freaky. Kevin, you think all is safe underneath the ocean. Everything's peaceful. You think, oh, I'm just doing a little No Man's Sky sort of thing underwater. And then suddenly a giant snake-like beast appears and it's chasing. It's hungry, Kevin. It's coming for you, all right?
just to be clear, I've never thought the ocean is safe. Never, not once.
You shouldn't, yeah. Thalassophobia. Thalassophobia.
Never, not once. Fuck the ocean. They got sharks.
You know what thalassophobia is, Kevin?
No, I'm with Kevin.
You know thalassophobia? Yeah.
Thalassophobia? Is that the one where if you see like a bunch of like circles?
Mm-mm.
You know that fear?
I do know that fear.
Hold on a second. You have fear of a bunch of circles?
I mean, I don't have that fear.
Yeah.
But
you're talking about tryptophobia. Tryptophobia.
Yeah. It was like trypophobia or tripophobia. Yeah, you're right.
Thalassophobia is the fear of open water, of just like not knowing what's down there. And I've mentioned this before on another podcast. If you follow thalassophobia on Reddit, like a subreddit of thalassophobia, the craziest images of like a little tiny boat, bless, with a giant whale underneath it, like sort of shadow swimming on it. We don't know what's down there, bless.
Shadow.
Elon Musk, quit wasting your time with Mars. Worry about what's on our own fucking planet, because there's something down there, bless.
Let him handle Mars, you know what I mean? Like, let him.
He's trying, dude.
He's going.
I mean, don't get me started on Elon Musk.
You see that spaceship explode when it landed?
Clown. Jesus.
They're doing their best over there. I mean, Alex Van Aken at OK Beast back in the day would play some Subnautica, and I'd watch some of his gameplay, and I'd be like, no, I am never playing this game, because I don't know. I don't know if I have thalassophobia, but I do have a fear of fucking what lies beneath in the depths of the ocean.
For sure. Because
any documentary I've seen that touches on sea creatures and shit, the deeper you go, the more fucked up they are, and it's terrifying.
Oh my gosh, there are ancient prehistoric things living down there, and I mean, again, this subreddit is really awesome because it'll just be a person in a little canoe,
a little family in a canoe.
There'll be a little family in a canoe, bless, and then suddenly, giant fucking whale just kind of like surfaces in the water, and it's way bigger than it has any business being. Why are you so big, whales? What are you doing? You know,
I don't fuck with it. Yeah. Andy. I'm excited to see when we finally decide to explore deep ocean with when Elon Musk makes the shift. But that shift for Elon Musk is probably so far away. If I wanted to come out to Mom Grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Beach Buggy Racing 2 Island Adventure for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Adios for Xbox One and PC. In Rays of the Light for PS5, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Signs of Sojourner for PS4. I think that's one that Greg talked about on PSW XOXO for our What You've Been Playing segment. Dungeon Defenders Awakened for Xbox One. Under Depths of Fear for Switch. And then, ooh, this is a fun name. Eztuon Reboot R. for PC. That's spelled EZ, the number 2ON, all one word, reboot colon R for PC.
What was the first one? Did it get rebooted? And
oh yeah, no, I mean, it might be as one on.
I remember the cartoon reboot.
The cartoon reboot, yeah.
That was cool.
It's a fun one. Remember Code Lyoko?
3D. Oh, I do remember Code Lyoko. Do you remember? No, never mind. This is way too old for you, Bless. I'm going to really date myself. But back in the day, you know, when Johnny Quest came back, right? Johnny Quest is an old cartoon. I never watched it. I was way too young for it. But Johnny Quest came back in a new form. And every once in a while, they included 3D in the show. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm quite like, you're talking about that tweet where it's like, what kind of made you question the existence of TV and like what made you think about the future of television? And it was definitely the 3D moments of Johnny Quest, the TV show, the cartoon.
Do you remember? We're running late in the show, so we shouldn't do this forever. But remember Kablam?
Oh, of course.
Because you mentioning that made me think of the toy skit that they would do, the Action Friends or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
That and then also Prometheus and Bob. Where, Kablam was just a collection of fucking really weird shows with really distinct art styles to them. And I remember as a kid seeing that and being like, what the fuck is TV? Because that was some of the earliest TV I remember watching. I remember being like, what the fuck is going on my television right now as a kid? Those words as a kid, but we got a new date for you. Doom Eternal, The Ancient Gods 2 is coming out tomorrow. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where, one, you can get the show ad-free. Two, you can write in to get us your questions, but then also get us your squad ups. Today's squad up comes from an anonymous write-in. It's a squad up for Twitter and in real life. The squad up goes like this. Yesterday, the United States lost 8 more lives to racism against Asian Americans, all in part due to a white man who, quote, wanted to eliminate a problem. Enough is enough. I sincerely ask that Squad Up today be devoted to this growing issue of racism against fellow American citizens, propagated by and racist and bigoted news media who keep putting the blame on their fellow U.S. citizens. Please go to Anti-Asian Violence Resources to donate, educate yourselves on how to fight anti-Asian hate, and sign petitions to condemn and eventually stop these terrible acts. Thank you. The person dropped a link. I'm going to put the link into the YouTube description. I'm sure that'll also be in the podcast descriptions. But this has been a thing that's been breaking overnight, right? Because we got the shooting that was in Atlanta, right? And people have been speaking out, and I think people have been speaking out in a very great way, sharing links, sharing ways to get involved, sharing ways to donate. And I also I stand 100% by this anonymous write-in, right? Like, if you're able to give, if you're able to do something, speak out, do something, you know, give to the cause, be vocal about it, because this is unacceptable. This has been breaking my heart over the last...
It is white supremacy. Let's just call it what it is. Quit trying to shy away from the issue. It is people trying to eliminate a problem, just like you mentioned. And yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. And This is what happens when the most powerful person in the world calls it the China virus. This is the sort of thing that you get. And so, I retweeted a tweet last night from the Kind of Funny account that Alana Pierce put on Twitter, and she's also doing some fundraising as well. To shout out to Alana, who's always just thinking of others. So, absolutely disgusting, terrible shit. Terrible. Yep.
Also, like, if you're in the community and you want to stand by any of this hate shit, if you want to stand by any of this racism, if you want to be part of the problem, like, we implore you to go away, right? We don't stand by any of this. We don't accept this. This is bullshit, and people should stop. Let's go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. It's always a difficult transition to make, right? Where you're like, man, fuck this shit, but also we got to get along. We got to get along with the show.
For sure.
Let's see here.
That's what you make the transition with, like, sort of the same kind of tone is what I've noticed. Like in the NFL, when somebody gets hurt, they play like the sad music. Bless. I don't know if you've ever seen that or whatever, because it's always like, but if someone gets hurt and they're like, oh fuck, this guy's knee is destroyed, he may not ever see the field again for like 3 years. Let's cut to commercial, and they play a softer piano version. It's like a very somber thing. So,
Nana Boggs writes in here and says, "Bless, the Disco Elysium announcement was that it got a release date, is getting voice acting, and is getting extra content." Thank you to the Nana Boggs for that.
I'm not in the game. Fuck! I really thought I was going to be in it.
I didn't realize it didn't have a release date. I guess it must have only had a release month. But there you go. People are writing in with the breaking news, which we already covered for Play at Home.
Greg Miller for real says, missed the stinger on the PS blog post, but there's more to come later this spring. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition will be available for free download between April 19th, 8 a.m. Pacific, and May 14th, 8 a.m. Pacific.
There you go.
8 p.m. Sorry, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, a lot of people wrote in about that too, and so thank you for that. Horizon Zero Dawn. This week's hosts for the rest of the week for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow, it is me and Paris. And this one will be after the Square Enix press conference that's going on tomorrow morning. And so expect that episode to go live around 11 a.m. if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And then on Friday, it is Greg and me. That's right. Back at it like a bad habit. Weird energy. We're doing it. We're bringing it back, baby. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike and Greg playing what I assume is Star Wars The Old Republic. Does that sound right, Kevin?
I believe it is.
Oh, no, Kevin's gone. He's dead. Rest in peace. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
And so if you want to watch some of that Star Wars The Old Republic goodness, stay tuned for that. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Bye, everybody.